Father God, you are the God of all hope, all faith, all love. Lord God, we thank you that you are over all things. The community, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. Lord God, we just pray now that your presence would fill this place anew. That, Lord, as we come to your word, you would bring truth and light from it. That, Lord, will speak into our hearts and change us. Lord God, I pray now that the words that I speak will be your words. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so we'll read the passage through and then we'll dive into where we're going to head this morning. Okay, so Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. This is God's word to us. Thanks be to God for that. So, carrying on in Romans chapter 8. And as I said at the very beginning of this series, Romans generally, but also chapter 8, it's like a rosebud blossoming. It starts off quite condensed, quite complex, but as you go through the passage, it kind of blossoms and blooms, and you start to see the full picture of what Paul is trying to convey. And you've got to see this passage in view of the whole of Romans, but we're looking at Romans chapter 8 as a way of just picking on the key aspect of what Paul is trying to convey to the Roman church. He's saying you've been saved by grace. You've been saved by faith in Jesus Christ. And what Romans chapter 8 is all about is saying, and you have been given the Holy Spirit, and this is what fuels you in your life with him. This is what you need to grasp hold of, that the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a gift of God to help us and work with us. Last week we covered how the whole of creation is groaning and waiting for the sons of God, the children of God, to come into the full inheritance of God. And how then we, as the children of God, are groaning for the future hope of the glory that we will one day know in him, in eternity. You see, because creation itself was frustrated in the same way that we as humanity have been frustrated by sin. When sin entered the world, not only did it damage our relationship with God, it damaged our relationship with the world around us, and creation has been frustrated. And if we go to Genesis chapter 3, we see how the earth was cursed because of humanity's sin. And Paul is saying that creation itself is longing and groaning for us as the people of God to start living out again the purpose and plan that God has always had for us. Creation is waiting for us as human beings to step into the grace of Christ, be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live what that relationship was meant to be at the beginning now. But it says that both creation and us are groaning and longing for something even greater than that. That we are longing and groaning for the future hope that is to come. The hope of eternity. Where one day we shall be like Christ. We will have new bodies. We will live in the kingdom of God. We will be people who are ruled and reigned by Christ himself. In a place where there is no injustice, where there is no pain, where there is no mourning. And what Paul is trying to convey is saying, that's the hope to which we view everything else in our life. And we talked about how at the beginning of last week's sermon, we talked about suffering. And Paul never diminishes the fact that as human beings, we are going to suffer. And as Christians, having a life in God does not take away all of your problems and make everything hunky-dory. In fact, it's probably even the opposite of that. Because we live in a tension. And we talked about this last week. The two planes of existence. The now and the not yet. If this is our fallen plane, the world in which we live today, Christ comes in when my watch is now. That's where Christ dies on the cross. And it's like there's an overlap of God's kingdom on earth, but our existence now. So that we are both fully saved now, but one day we shall be fully saved in actual reality when Jesus returns and we live fully in the kingdom of God. And what Paul says is you have to view everything in our lives through hope. That what we have as Christians, that the world does not have, is that we are people of hope. People who live knowing that there is a God who is greater, bigger, and more immense than anything we can imagine in this world. And so we view everything in view of the hope that we have. God gives us a hope. So creation is groaning for that hope. We are groaning for that hope. And now today we get to the point where the Spirit of God himself is groaning for that help. And we come to the first verse of where we read today. And my first point this morning is this. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. The Spirit helps us in our weakness. You see, not only has God made you, God has then also chosen to save you through Christ. And then he's also then chosen to put the Spirit of God inside of you to help you and aid you live the Christian life. Because we're in the not quite yet, we still sin, we still fall, we still act in ways which aren't the best ways we could act. But God said he puts his Spirit inside of us to help us in our weakness. And that word weakness in the Greek is quite an all-encompassing term. It's the word asthenio, and it means without strength, to be weak, to be sick, powerless, infirm, spiritually or morally weak, infirmities of the soul, frail, disadvantaged, in a position of limitation. It's saying, we are weak. Do you ever feel weak? Do you ever feel frail? Do you ever spiritually in your being question whether you're saved or not? Do you ever doubt whether God is real? Do you ever think, I just can't do this anymore? I can't walk this life anymore? If I wasn't a Christian, it'd be so much easier. Paul is saying, know this, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. What we are unable to do, the Spirit of God is in us doing it for us. He is there to try to bring us an inner strength, something that we can draw upon to help us in our weakness, in our powerlessness, in our disadvantaged situation. And that word weakness there, it's the same root word, it's the same word effectively, but different tense, that's used back in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, when it says, yet while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It says in You see, just at the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for us. That word, when we were still powerless. You see, when we were powerless, Christ saved us. But that wasn't good enough for God. That in our weakness, in our continued weakened state, as sinful human beings, the Spirit of God is put inside of us to help us in that weakness still. You see, God is doing things in you. And we make the mistake in the Christian life of we've got to do it. We've got to save ourselves. We've got to work a bit harder. We've got to work a bit stronger at getting all of this right. I'm not saying we haven't got to put effort in, but it's not to try and achieve salvation. It's not to try and achieve the things of God. God says, rest in me and let the Spirit of God work. We know those words, don't we, from Zephaniah, not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And we hear those words, don't we? And then the first thing we do after hearing those words is we go, what can I do to help God in this? We immediately forget what we've just heard and then try and actually go and do something. And God is saying, I'm at work in you. I am at work in you. In the same way that when you're powerless, I saved you. In the same way now, in your saved state, I am helping you. The Spirit of God lives in us to help us in our weakened state. Point two this morning. Then he goes on to say, the Spirit intercedes for us. Again, have you ever been in a situation where you just don't know what to pray anymore? Where you think, I just don't know anymore. God, I'm at a loss. I don't know what is the best thing to pray in this situation. Well, the Spirit that helps us also prays on our behalf to the Father for us. How amazing is that? That God himself is in us, interceding, praying on our behalf for the things that we need, for the things that the Spirit knows are the desires of our heart. The Spirit is in us to lead us and guide us in the ways of God. In our weakness, when we don't know what to pray, it says the Spirit groans on our behalf. It has a longing before God to bring the petitions that we need before the Father. And then it talks about how the God who searches hearts knows the mind of the Spirit. And that word, you know, and then those words, searching the heart. The root word of that in the Hebrew is the idea of someone in a darkened room with a flaming torch going round the darkened room trying to seek and discover what's in there. Or maybe trying to feel their way around, trying to seek and discover what's there. God, the searcher of hearts. It's not trying to say the God who's going to try and search your heart to try and condemn you. What Paul is saying, no, this is the God who searches your heart for the Spirit of holiness that's been put inside of you. He looks at your heart to see that the Spirit of God has been placed in you as a deposit of that future hope in the here and now. The Father searches our hearts to hear the groans and the cry that the Spirit is interceding on our behalf. When we don't know what to pray anymore, when we've come to an end and we've come to a loss, God is searching our hearts for the groans and the cry of the Spirit of God inside of us. Because the Spirit knows what we need. He knows what to pray. He knows what's best for us. That's what God is doing through the Spirit inside of us. And then we come to point three. God calls us, the Spirit calls us to God's purposes. See, the Spirit of God is in us, groaning on our behalf, in communion with the Father, as an amazing power of God's love. If we want to be people who walk in the purposes and plan of God, are we prepared to still our hearts and listen for the groans of the Spirit inside of us? To try and seek what God the Father and God the Spirit are saying to each other about us. About where we should be going. What it is that we actually need versus what we think we need. See, because when we start listening for the groans of the Spirit inside of us, one of the things the Spirit then does is calls us back constantly to God's purpose and plan for our life. The groaning of the Spirit is to call us to be who we have been made to be in Christ. It's constantly calling us to that future hope of eternity. It's in us calling us back to the path of God. And then we get those famous verses of Romans 8:28 that we all know And maybe we love these verses and they've been a really good promise to us in our life. Maybe they've been said at the most inappropriate time and you almost have a resentment to these verses. It's one of those lovely Christian verses that Christians say sometimes, they say before thinking. And they go, there, it's all right. All things work together for good to those who love God. And you go, that's the last thing I need to hear right now. It might be true, but it's not what needs to be said at that moment in time. And we as Christians together, as a community and a family, have got to be careful with the counsel that we give each other and give people time to recognise there's a time when actually things are just rubbish. I need to just be rubbish. And we have to just come and bring this before God. Sometimes we're very quick to try and solve problems. What Paul says is, suffering's going to happen. Sin's going to happen. These things are all going to happen. And yes, we then view them through hope. But he never diminishes the reality of situations. All things work together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. What God is trying to say through that verse is, he is bringing everything in us back to the purpose of God. What is the purpose of God? To bring us back into communion with him like it was in Genesis. To conform us to the image and likeness of Christ. Well, the image and likeness of Christ is God. And in the beginning, we were made to be in the image of God. What God is saying is, he will use everything to conform us more into the image and likeness of Christ. Conform us more into the image of hope that we live for. He is working all things for his good, but for the purposes of us. To conform us into the image of Christ. Doesn't mean to say God causes situations in our life, but it means that in every situation we know that there's a hope, which means that actually there's a God who's above the situation, who knows this situation, every detail of it. And he says, I'm the God who will do something amazing with you. God never diminishes our suffering. We see Christ. We've been conforming to the image of Christ. What happened to him? He suffered. He suffered and died on the cross. But the God of all power and the God of all might was able to raise him from death into life. But if Christ hadn't died, there would be no power in what he did. God is working all things together for good to those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. But those purposes are being conformed to the image of Christ. It doesn't mean to say that God makes every situation better. That's not what it's saying. But it's saying that God will use everything in the long run to benefit those that love him. But it doesn't mean to say it's going to change the situation right now. And it goes on to talk about this being conformed into the image of Christ. And I said, it's being brought back into the image of God that we're made to be at the very beginning. That's what it's made to be like. And then we get these amazing words towards the end of the passage that say that we have been called. And those who have been called are then justified. And those who are justified are then glorified. We are called to a hope. That hope is that we will be back in relationship with God. That we will be people who live the kingdom of God in the here and now. You see, another way you can read the passages of Romans 8:28, there's an old manuscript from one of the Dead Sea Scrolls that says, God works all things together for good with those who love him, who are called according to his purposes. It's a picture of God doing stuff with us. Are we going to be people who, with God, seek to bring the future hope of the kingdom into the here and now? Are we going to be people who live justice, mercy? People who feed the hungry, clothe the naked, bring shelter to those who are homeless? Are we going to share the good news of a kingdom of hope where everyone is welcome? No matter where you find yourself, no matter who you are, no matter what's happened in your past, God says, I still love you. I still care about you. You are welcome in this kingdom. And the least that you feel makes you great in the kingdom of God. That's the hope to which we are called as Christians. To live in a way which is completely opposite to the world around us. But brings hope to people. Brings life to people. That's the hope to which we are called. And we are justified through Christ on the cross. When we put our faith in him, we are justified into that hope. We have a reason to be in that hope because we are justified into it. We have a good reason to be there in that hope of God's grace. And when we are justified into it, we are then glorified, which is living life in that hope, receiving that hope, benefiting from the fullness of that hope. The gospel is simple. A call to hope, justified to hope, glorified in hope. The gospel that we speak about, the gospel that we come here to proclaim, the reason we come together to worship God isn't because it's a nice thing to do. It's because this is good news. This should bring hope to people's hearts and people's lives. And the Spirit of God has been put inside of us to help us in our weakness, to intercede on our behalf, but ultimately to help us be conformed to the image of Christ, which is to live this hope, to show it to the people of this world, and say, God loves you, God cares about you, you have value and worth. And whether the world or other people have told you that you haven't, you have got worth and value in the kingdom of God. And God knows every detail of your heart. He knows every detail of your life. And yet he loves you the same. And his passion and desperation to be in relationship with you means that even when we were powerless in sin, and that picture there in Romans 5 of being powerless in sin is like we're at war with God. That the way we live is so opposed to God, it's almost like being in battle and war, and God waves a white flag and says, I'm going to save you and rescue you now. It's like your worst enemy turning around and saying, I love you. God loves us with undying love, which won't stop or rest until people have heard this hope and this good news, that God is a God of mercy and a God of love, who longs to be in relationship with people, to bring them into a hope which is so incredible, which is a life with God. This passage this morning is about the Spirit of God helping us in that path and in that call of hope. It's in you, it's in me. God is in us at work. The question is, will we let him? Will we listen to the groans of the Spirit inside of us and be led by that and guided by that? Or will we choose to go our own way, do what we want, and be in fear of squashing the hope that we can live out? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you are a God of hope. You are a God of mercy and a God of love, a God of compassion. And Lord, you put your Spirit inside of your people so that we can know that deep compassion, that deep groaning, that deep cry from the heart, so that we can live lives just like Jesus did. A life of compassion, a life of hope, a life serving those who no one else would serve, talking to those that no one else would talk to, bringing hope to people's lives. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would work in us to give us ears to hear the groans and the cries of the Spirit of God inside of us, so that we can be led to the purposes of God and walk in those. In your mighty name we pray. Amen.